Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Face Us, the radio show where we listen to your voice and talk about the corruption we all face every day in our courts. America's courts have been co-opted by organized crime organizations operating under the color of law to defraud their victims of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We, the people, must confront the perpetrators of these crimes to have any hope of creating transparency and accountability in our courts and repairing our legal system. We stand with you to create this accountability. It's time to face us. Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Face Us Radio, Blog Talk Radio, Hidden Truth Revealed. And this is the Inside Scoop. Today is July 20th, 2022. My name is Robin Austin, and I'm with my co-host, Lou Ann Fleming.
Right, and we are also tonight with Hillary Hoge. She will be coming on and joining us soon, and Marcy was having some difficulty with her phone, so she said she would be joining us next week. So we'll be bringing Marcy on, or not Marcy, but Hillary, as soon as she calls back in. So we're going to probably have a full radio show tonight. And if that happens, I will call out everybody's name to speak, and we're going to be taking in calls from our listeners in about 45 minutes, and to do that, you call this number, 845-241-9962. You press a 1. 845-241-9962. You press a 1. If you have a question or comment, please call into our radio show. We're going to be discussing... First of all, welcome back. It's been a while. We took a serious vacation. We are all rested. We are ready to go moving forward, aren't we, Robin?
Absolutely, and a great many things have been happening in the world of probate court fraud. We've seen several stories that have come out, both locally and nationally and in various states, just people getting caught in their frauds, judges with their pants down, all kinds of things are going on. So we're going to touch on some of those things and bring out some of those articles that we've seen in some of the major news organizations. It's really delightful for us to see some of the major news organizations covering a lot of the stories that we've been talking about for years.
Right, and if you have anything going on in your case or anything that you can share with us, go ahead and do so. Like I said, the number you call into is 845-241-9962. You press a 1, and we will be taking in callers in about 45 minutes. Anyway, we are going to start talking about something going on. And right now, Faces Radio returns, everybody. We are back, aren't we?
Yes, we are. Welcome back to Faces Radio.
Anyway, let's start talking about, first of all, when Hillary comes back, she's going to talk about Florida. We've got a lot of bases to cover. First of all, in Colorado, there is so much going on in Colorado about there's investigations that find misconduct in the workplace issues within Colorado Judicial Department. We've got David Magoya that was talking about with Channel 7. With Megan Lopez, she's one of the journalists there, investigative reporters. She was talking.
You may remember David Magoya was the writer who broke the story, who first investigated and told about the story of the woman who received a promotion, a particular contract from the Judicial Department. There was a very, very valuable contract. And it was apparently related to her threatening the Judicial Department to expose some of their dirty laundry. As I understand the story, she said that there was sexual misconduct among some of the judges, and the judiciary decided rather than to face a lawsuit, which she threatened to bring, to essentially buy her off by paying this, by giving her this contract, which was a multi-million dollar and perhaps several year contract. And that was how David Magoya first came up on my radar, because that was one of the first stories that I had seen and identified and said, oh, now that's exactly what we've been talking about. And here's a writer who is in a major media outlet letting the world know what's going on.
Right, exactly. So we've got Colorado going on with their Judicial Discipline Committee. They created one in legislation this year with one of the bills. And so a lot of our organizations around here in Colorado testified in front of them. August 10th is the next time if you want to speak out here in Colorado about what's going on with judicial discipline. If anybody needs to know that here in Colorado, give me a call, and I'm going to actually send out some more emails about that, and we're going to be covering all the details that we're having in Colorado. And I also want to let everybody know that last year we were with Channel 7 News with Jennifer Kowaleski. She's the news journalist, and Joe Vaccarelli. We're covering all the probate issues happening here in Colorado. Well, they are going to join us again, but our representative, Richard Holtorf, was voted back in, so he promises to expose what's going on with the guardianship abuse, the Colorado bar. All of that's going to be happening this year, so I want everybody to tune in because we have joined forces with him. And
now,
he's really an awesome man. He's really spoken on it.
I just wanted to say, for those of you that follow these stories and saw the television coverage of the meeting where FACES representatives, other representatives, and victims, and all spoke out to the Senate committee, Representative Holtorf was very vocal about saying, it is inhumane for a guardian to prevent a person from knowing when their mother or their loved one dies or is moved into a hospital. He said this is inhumane. He said there was a bill proposed that said any guardian should have to notify the family when their loved one dies or moves into a hospital or is moved out of one place and into another. And this was voraciously opposed by the Bar Association, apparently.
Hugely opposed.
Apparently,
oh my God.
So. And the bill in its final form, as it approached the public comment period, had a 30-day clause. The attorneys wanted no clause at all, no notification at all that an individual would have to be notified if their parent were killed or died in custody or was moved to a hospital or another facility. They wanted to have no need to notify family at all. And eventually the bill came through with a 30 days notification. And Representative Holtorf was one who stood up and said, no, that's just inhumane. That's ridiculous. If it was our mother, your mother, my mother, that, and I wasn't notified for 30, he said, that's wrong on a human level. And so I just was very pleased to see that he was able to win by a large margin in his,
right.
In his area of Colorado. He was able to win by a large margin, and he is unopposed this fall. And we did have both ourselves and others that we're associated with, that we contacted, that helped him to get reelected. I mean, we had people working on that, and so he already was in harmony with our goals, but he also realizes that we support him, and he wants to. Not because we did him a kindness, but because he realizes that we're his people, that we're trying to do the same thing he's trying to do.
His relative was put into a guardianship, his aunt.
That's right, uh-huh. And that is why he was so very open to what we had to say, because he'd seen it with his own eyes. He'd seen it within his own family. He had seen the kind of monkey business,
right.
Injustice,
mm-hmm.
that goes on in these probate courts, and it had happened in his family. So this was a powerful development for some good things that may come in the future from the fact that we have that particular representative in
office. Right, and we have also have a meeting with him next month, and I'm sure we'll be asking him to come on to our radio show.
Absolutely.
And so that's going to be coming up. We have a lot going on here in Colorado. Like I say, we've got to speak in front of the Judicial Discipline Committee that they created in legislation. And Chris Forsythe, the executive director of the Judicial Integrity Project, he was also very concerned with this report's findings of this one lady they were investigating in this report, you know, the one that had the $2.5 million she wanted to be paid for, right? He told the judicial system, right, 10 years ago we were having problems, and now they were all flocking to him for information. All these news agencies, he's been on the news like at least a couple times a week explaining what's going on. He spoke in front of the Judicial Discipline Committee, and we're going to be doing that August 10th. So anybody here in Colorado, let me know, and I will hook you up.
He rightfully said, if you had listened to me, then you could have avoided a lot of these problems. And that's absolutely true. That we stand with him. We were right there next to him saying, yep, he's right. That's right. That our data shows the same. Our research shows the same. Our families are here for the same reasons. And, you know, and it was, we really got the brush off numerous times when we tried to bring these problems forward and say your judiciary is misbehaving, your judiciary is not living up to the standard that they ought to, your judiciary is responsible for crimes being committed simply because they permit them, they omit the process of holding people accountable when it is court-appointed officials. Those court-appointed officials are able to get away with literally murder, all kinds of things, you know, incredible crimes that anyone else would be in prison for. These people are walking around free year after year after year after year. And according to the reports that we get from reliable sources, these are mass murderers. And when I use that term, I know it sounds extreme, but I want you to understand that my opinion is if you lock someone in a cage and you prevent them from seeing their loved ones and you cut off all access to them by anybody that they know and love, and you take away their food and you take away their water and you give them a drug overdose that is lethal, that is murder.
Right.
So when I say murder, I'm talking about murder.
Yeah, right.
That's what I'm talking about. And I'm not going to sugarcoat it or pretend that there's some legitimacy to this. There are mass murderers that are walking around endorsed by the courts in our country, and we are simply unaware or unavailable for comment or too distracted by so many other things that we just don't appreciate the gravity of the situation and the reality of the situation.
Right.
And so we are not facing up to it and changing it. It really does fall to us, the people of this country, to say, not on my watch, not in my country. We're not going to let these people just get away with mass murder. We're not going to do that anymore.
Exactly.
We're going to prevent that until we stand up, fight back, say absolutely not, we will not have it. It's going to continue, and it has continued for many years, and it has gotten more and more grave, more and more grievous as we've watched it develop. Just, was it earlier today or was it yesterday? We went to a Zoom meeting for court concerning the Fairley matter. And there was, of course, there was some pretext upon which everyone that wasn't a direct party to the action in court was all booted out of the courtroom. So there's no transparency, no accountability. They're going to do what they're going to do. And if no one sees and no one knows, no one can do a darn thing about it.
Exactly.
And that's what we're seeing in these courts. And we've got to change that.
Right. And like I was saying, like we were talking about the last thing with the Judicial Integrity Project, we were just talking about some of these cases that were coming up, and I have to go find out where I was. Okay, so the Judicial Integrity Project, because we told this committee, we want judges focusing on the judicial business. We want judges hearing and deciding cases. He goes, the Judicial Integrity Project also wants more citizen involvement in the judicial discipline process and more transparency into the process. In the wake of the contact allegations this year, Colorado lawmakers passed a bill to form an interim committee to look into the judicial discipline process and propose legislation to make reforms. So those are the committees we're going to be responding to August 10th. So we're going to see what happens here in Colorado. And if you have anything going on in your state, call into our radio show. Let everybody know how the process is done, what you've had to do to get there, and let's make a big improvement across the nation, because no one needs to be treated like this in the probate courts or any kind of court, you know, family court, divorce court. It is all a huge mess, and Colorado admits that they need to clean up their judicial process. We are on top of them, and we are not letting them get away with it, along with many organizations.
And one of the things that we see that is really, really difficult to correct is the deference of public officials to the judiciary. When a judge walks into a hearing room of a Senate committee that is discussing judicial discipline, well, first of all, in my opinion, there's a very good chance that they have no business being there, because that's like, I don't know, to me, that's like a criminal walking in to the sentencing discussion between the lawyers and the judge. Anyway, I don't know. What I'm trying to say is that the Congress, the congressional representatives, Senate representatives, I have seen it with my own eyes on several different occasions, that every member of the public who comes forward, or every member of a advocacy group such as Face Us, or there are numerous others, who comes forward, is given 3 minutes to talk. But should a judge show up...
Oh, they get an hour and a half.
They get as much time as you can take all the time that you want.
Yeah.
That deference
right.
to that branch, because the judiciary is so-called the third branch of government, there's a deference that happens with our representatives that simply makes it an inequitable
right.
system. And when you got criminal activity, you can't have the judiciary determining how they're going to be dealt with for that criminal activity. And right now, that's what we have. And it seems that that's the direction that the that our Senate and our Congress tend to go. Now, was that going to change? Oh, well, I certainly hope so. I pray that it will.
Yeah.
I am extremely cautious in my optimism, but I do see that there is movement in the direction of some real accountability that may happen. So I can only hope.
Anyway, so here in Colorado, lots and lots of articles coming out. Colorado judicial discipline system should be scrapped, rebuilt, and that's the testimony that was given in front of the Supreme Court and in Judicial Discipline Committee. So this is getting really interesting, everybody. So we'll keep everybody updated. We are going to bring in Hillary Hogue to see what's going out on Florida and across the nation. Hillary, are you still with us?
I will always be with you until you kick me off of this beautiful, lovely, permanent radio show that you do, and I am so lucky to be part of. And yes, I am here, and missed having the show. We had a nice break, but the corruption in Florida and throughout this country has not ceased to stop. And I ask our callers one question. Besides death, what is more detrimental or what is worse than losing all of your rights, your God-given rights as an American citizen. There is nothing. To lose the right to vote. Yeah, and our parents, you know, very, very into voting and very for their country. The right to decide where you live, what you eat, what medicine you take, how your body will be disposed of when you die. I mean, and it goes on and on and on and on. But when you ask yourself that one question, what is worse than losing all of your rights or some of your rights? Nothing besides death. Nothing. So that is why we are here. That is why we are fighting. That is why we, and I will quote my new friend, Skylar, Susu's little son, who spoke so eloquently on the video that his mother posted. At the end, he said the following: we will not give in. We will not give up. And I will quote him each and every time because he is on the top five of all advocates that I know. And he said whatever, you know, trying to get funds together to help his dad, to help other people. He said, we will not be using this money for toys. We will be using it to help people like my dad. And that's coming from a little boy. So, I mean, if he can devote part of his life to advocacy work, then we all can do a little bit more. So happy to be here, and I will listen to the show.
Okay, and I've heard that we're having a little bit of a technical difficulty, so if we are not able to hear correctly, we will clear the airways here, but sometimes Blog Talk Radio, sometimes you can't do nothing about it. But we will talk to them technically to see what's going on with all this.
I'm sorry to interrupt. I can hear you and Robin quite clearly from my end.
Okay, good. Yeah, okay. So call into our radio show. The number is 845-241-9960. Press the 1. I've checked all the technical issues, and so far I can hear everybody so far. So I guess we'll just have to go with that, and next week I will talk to them and see what's going on with the technical issues. Anyway, so
okay,
Hillary,
Luann,
yeah.
I retract that statement. You're breaking up.
Is that better?
That seems to be better, yes.
Okay, so what's going on in Florida? Do you have any news that's going on in there? I know there was a case with Rebecca Fairley, but the judge would not let us listen in. You know, have any idea what's going on with that?
Well, the hearing was a motion in limine, more the guardianship lingo that we never knew what it was, but now we do, concerning the star witness. And I've spoken to her quite a number of times, and they are trying to wear her down, and she had a stroke. So it was all, I believe, whether or not she would be able to be deposed, and it was a back and forth. But I think the first 10 minutes, we were kicked off. And there's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can do. But, of course, Rebecca Fairley was there, and she wasn't kicked off. We have another case with the guardian who was arrested in Florida. She was arrested in 2019, November, almost 3 years ago. And not only is she facing, I think, 30 felony charges and is out on bail, the judge just gave permission for her to travel to Texas from Florida with her father for a family function, as long as she gets the monitoring bracelet. How unbelievable. How many people who have supposedly, innocent until proven guilty, committed a major crime, grand theft, exploitation of the elderly, gun running, you know, perjury, notary fraud, this, that, and the other, If you're from the hood, do you think they're going to say, oh, okay, you can travel wherever? No. You're lucky if you can make bail, A, and then even if you do, God willing, make bail, you are under house arrest. But this
right.
this person, because she's friends with members of the court, she gets to travel. Well, guess what? Guess what? When we had so many wards dying, right, who have died of COVID, we begged the judges and the guardians' attorneys, listen, we want to bring our loved ones home. You've got all their money. Please, we'll put an ankle bracelet around them. Just let them come home to a cleaner environment with a few people, and then we'll give them back. They can go back into isolation, right. captivity. No, we can't do that. And how, we don't even know an accurate number of how many innocent victims of guardianship corruption in this country died of COVID because the court system wouldn't let them go home. And that is beyond deplorable.
Yeah, that's
horrifying.
It's horrible. It's horrifying. And I know that out in Florida, there's been a lot of cases going on, and we witnessed a few of them ourselves, like the Elliot Bernstein case and his children. Oh, my gosh. We happened to have met them, and they are just beautiful, beautiful people. Elliot Bernstein and his wife, Candace, and their three sons and their girlfriends are absolutely a beautiful family. They are fighting just nonstop, been in probate court for over 10 years. Now they're facing foreclosure on their home, and it's just nonstop stress for them. And we want to keep them in our prayers that things will go right. They'll be able to save their home, things that will be exposed. And I'm going to try to get them on next week. We've got the other cases that are out there in Florida that's going to be coming on with Elliot Bernstein.
The Navarro.
Yeah, the Navarro case. We
like
even try to get on there.
Right.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And that's so sad to watch their dad, you know, he's standing on there, just doesn't really even know what to say, you know, and they people are just controlling other people's lives, especially your family members.
Right. And the thing is that the judges, I quote this rule. I try to work it. You know, half the time it doesn't work. Sometimes it does. But the law, the statute says specifically that the only person who can close a hearing is the alleged, the adjudicated, or the disabled person. No one can do it. But even say so, the lawyer will say, well, or the guardian, I step into their shoes once they become a ward of the state. But we had the father. This beautiful man, he was there. And I said, Your Honor, you, it should be Mr. Navarro who decides whether he wants his daughter's friends and advocates to be here. And, of course, we were shut down again. But that's okay because here we go. We will never give up. We will never surrender because we know that we have committed no crime. And what really, really, someone said to me the other week, The reason that we are furious about what we talk about every week and every day is because we know that we have done nothing wrong. We know that we were the caretakers. We gladly were honored to take care of our family members, and we knew what was going on and that we basically were blindsided by these negative criminals who knew what we were doing and knew that we were the good guys, but knew that we would be able to put one over on us because we never could have imagined this happening, not in a million years.
No, that's also all by design. It's ever since we were kids, we've gone through brainwashing by our whole culture that tells us that that there's some kind of moral imperative that fits a person for a judgeship, for a public office, that those people are you know, the cream of the crop as far as behavior goes.
Creme de la creme, and, right.
Yeah, and that they're really, you know, because they're the kind of people whose behavior is above reproach, they get elected to these offices and appointed to these offices out where they wield power, because they're the ones that deserve that power. They're the ones, you know, and there's this whole mystique of the Justice Department, and you go in and you address them as Your Honor and Justice so-and-so, and it's all, when you realize that oftentimes what you have are criminals hiding behind all of those honors, criminals that are getting paid off at the back end, that are gladly and happily selling people down the river to their friends who have a network of criminals that are in an organized crime organization, that are working to defraud people, to separate them from their families, to isolate them, medicate them, steal their estate, and then celebrate with their good buddy, the man in the black robe or the woman in the black robe, who pounds the gavel and says, "No problem here. These people are not doing anything illegal."
Right.
And that we have this attitude that these people are trustworthy. And the fact is that power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And the power that is exercised in some of these probate courts approaches absolute power. They have absolute power over the life of a person who is deemed incapacitated and called a ward. For instance, have no phone, they have no friends or family allowed to talk to them. They have no choice in what to eat or where to sleep,
yeah,
or whether or not they get water to drink or anything else.
It's nasty.
It's horrifying. And that power has a corrupting effect that means that without oversight, we cannot trust any individual. We just can't trust them.
Yeah.
If, you know, that power corrupts. And when we give a person that much power and there's no oversight, there's no transparency, there's no accountability, then what we've done is we've created a monster, because human beings are flawed. The temptation, when you are given the kind of power,
right, exactly,
works on you. And the individual who resists it, I believe there are those who do resist that temptation, who wield that power in a responsible way. I believe that they do exist, that this is real, that there are people who are doing good with the powers that they have,
right,
that have been given to them. But there are so many that are exercising so much in a way that is absolutely corrupt and despicable and hateful,
yeah,
and wicked,
that
we've got to stand up and stop them.
Yeah, we have to absolutely stand up and stop them. We've been hearing lots going on across the nation. I know that Wazina Crenshaw and Belinda Parker Brown, they are with AUI, and I know that
America United International.
Right. And this is just really critically important, everybody. They've been doing serious work, and hoping to get them onto our radio show to explain what's going on. You or your loved one is a victim in any and all jurisdictions, criminal court, probate court, family court, bankruptcy court, landlord-tenant court, any and all venues in the United States of America. It says, for example, victims of wrongful convictions, harsh and excessive punishments, fraudulent guardianships, false reports, discrediting, silencing of whistleblowers, you name it. This list goes on for like a whole page, and it's unlawful evictions from an apartment. It says, please pay attention and get your cases, facts, and supporting evidence properly ready to finally be heard. So these are all going to be heard. So it's, again, America United International, AUI, is leading the way to redress remedies, reparations, and judicial and legal system reform. So I just want everybody to tune in the next couple of weeks. I'm hopefully going to be having them come on real quickly to explain what's going on. Everybody in America needs to listen to this, what's going on. It's been huge, and now I think they've come to some issues that are going on. So this is getting exciting. What's going on, Robin? Have you heard anything about that, Hillary?
About AUI, I know Elizabeth Benedetto's been pushing hard, and any advocate is an advocate friend of mine, because it can be a thankless job, but the word is getting out, as Marcy Friedman says. I got a voicemail today. I'm sure most people who are listening know about the Rojas case. Ramon Omar Rojas. He is in a for-profit guardianship. It started in Hillsboro. The judge had basically said to the mother and father, "Just learn how to do." The guardian had a tracheotomy put in Omar without notifying anyone. Just learn how to, you know, take care of it, and I see him going home. Well, the guardian and her attorney didn't like that because they're making lots of money on Omar's back, and they did a change of venue. So we're fighting for Mrs. Rojas, and we're fighting to bring Omar home, and this is the case where the guardian very nonchalantly said to a nurse who was taking care of Omar at the time, this is the guardian speaking, "I have absolutely no problem taking a noose and putting it around the mother's neck and tightening it in order to get Omar out of this house." She did take him from school. The family didn't know where he was for 3 weeks. But Mrs. Rojas, who I would stand in front of an oncoming ERF train to prove how devoted I am to getting her son back. She went to Highlands, Hillsborough County, to get some paperwork, and she spoke to a woman who is in charge of the ADA department, Americans with Disabilities Act, you know, for hearing, assisting, you know, of the people who have less sight than we do, and also interpreters. And so she sent me a voicemail. Let me see if I can just, and I'm like, "Clerk of Courts from Plant City, who would that be?" But let me see if I can read it. It says, "My name is Christy Clemente, and I'm calling from the city of Plant City. I had a visit yesterday with Ruth Lynn Rojas, and she advised me to call you. I am in disbelief, and I could not," this is someone who knew nothing about guardianship, "I am in disbelief and could not sleep one wink last night, thinking about Mrs. Rojas and her son being taken away. I will do anything to get him back home and assist." And she gives her phone number out three times. And I spoke to her, and she thanked me. She thanked me for calling her back. And that is a step that I'm glad that we are seeing, because normally in the past, no one took our call. They thought we were crazy people. So we are making a little headway with people like this Christy Clemente from the ADA department in Plant City. We will make strides, and all it takes is one person, like Robin, like you, Luann, like every advocate listening to this phone call, is to tell these stories to people. I tell people in the supermarket. They're like, "How are you doing?" I'm like, "Pretty good, but, you know, do you know about guardianship?" And, "Oh, Brittany, this, that, and the other." We need to get headway, because God knows the judges, the attorneys, and the for-profit guardians, they are hoping to keep this an underground operation. So AUI, hats off to everyone involved, and to everyone who's either working with a group or fighting the fight every single day on their own. We're all looking for, you know, there is a common goal, and that is for justice for innocent victims of guardianship abuse. whether they're dead, alive, and to prevent it from happening from anyone else.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I'm serious.
Shoulder to shoulder, heart to heart, head to head, and hand to hand we stand. We are one voice on behalf of those suffering from injustice. We will stand up and we will speak out. We will continue to do that until we see that we have resolution and this is no longer happening, which means, of course, that we're dedicated for life. This is not something that is a,
gosh,
I finished the project.
Right. And so we are going to start bringing in callers right now and come talk about your state. What's going on? Anything that you can talk about in your cases? Any updates? There's lots of cases going on, I know, right now. And I think April Donovan had something going on in hers. I can't remember. There's so many different ones. But if you have anything going on, please call in. What did you say, Hillary?
I think, and don't quote me, that April Donovan was able to become the personal representative of her mother's estate. I know it was a win, and I congratulate her because she was – it's hard enough when you have an attorney representing you, but she was pro se. So, I mean, extra congratulations.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So if anybody – if anything's going on, we're going to start taking in phone calls into our show, and the number is 845-241-9962. You press a 1. 845-241-9962. You press a 1. And also, you can go to the Hidden Truth Build on Blog Talk Radio, and you can hit the follow button, and it will remind you of our shows this week.
That's
so
right.
You'll get an
and
email coming to you.
That's www.blogtalkradio.com/Hidden Truth Reveal.
Right, and if you have any shows and the show, any one of these, it can be found at, we post links all over Facebook. And also, I've been having a lot of problems with Facebook lately. I don't know what it is, but people aren't able to post too many on our site, Families Against Foreign Investment, Unethical Standards Face Us. I had a message come across me saying that they were going to be tuning it down with Blog Talk Radio show hosts. And so I'm not sure if they did that, censoring a lot of our stuff. I'm not sure if any of you can get a hold of me on Messenger and let me know if you've been reading our messages and if you can post anything in there. Janet Phelan said she's not able to post into our sites anymore. So I'm not sure exactly what's going on there. I'm going to be reaching out to Facebook as soon as I get settled back in here. But remember, you can share these links. A friend, family, and it can be found on Faces Radio on Hidden Truth Revealed channel on Blog Talk Radio. Remember, all of our shows are recorded and archived. And like I said, you can follow us on Facebook, Families Against Court Embezzlement, Unethical Standards Face Us, and on Hidden Truth Revealed. You will be notified when all of our shows are going to air. And you can also reach us by families. You can go faceusradio@hotmail.com. If you want to talk about anything there, I've got emails. I actually have to get a hold of many people still. So Facebook Radio, you can call us there at hotmail.com.
And if I could just say one thing, one thing besides the four other things that I've said and will probably say after this, and to the people that can do it, I understand that. I am grateful that I am caring for my father who won the lottery in Florida and got out of a guardianship through a bogus settlement agreement. But I'm asking people if they are at home or have access to go on these Zoom or Microsoft Teams or whatever the platform is for the hearings. Having court watchers at these hearings, if we get kicked off, we get kicked off. But at least they know, hey, there were 30 people here. You know, we had to get rid of whatever. They will know that we're there. You cannot even imagine. As I say, with all seriousness, one good thing came out of COVID, and that was getting hearings on Zoom that we can be. I can be in California. I could be wherever, Utah, on a Zoom hearing, whereas before, and no wonder why my car gave up at 270,000 miles, because I was driving as far as I could for hearing. So I'm asking you, if you can at all possible, attend these hearings, it makes a big difference. And it also, this is me, and I'm not telling anyone what to do, because God knows no one's going to listen to me, specifically my children and my father, if you could show your face. Because seeing a face, seeing a respectful person, dressed nicely, being attentive, they're like, wow, these aren't schlubs, you know, who are here. But more importantly, or just as, can possibly attend these hearings, because you know that they're going to go back to all in person sooner or later. So I thank you, and I thank each and every victim who does what they can, and we're fighting the fight with you always.
Exactly. And if you ever want to get a link to any of the Zooms, always follow SEER, and that's with Rick Black, and that is Centers for Estate Administration Reform. You can find him up on Facebook, C-E-A-R. He has all the links to all, you know, all the Zoom calls.
And you know, and he gets them.
He's amazing. You know. I mean, he has everything posted on there, you know.
Right. And,
along with our site.
Right.
Yeah.
Anyone can call me as well, and I try to notify Rick about, at least in Florida, which he's active everywhere. I more than likely always pick up my phone. But again, we are grateful for all the advocates. We are lucky to work with a great group of people that are going or have gone through the worst situation in their life.
Call her after this vacation, I tell you what, 845 number. You are live on the air with Face Us Radio.
Hi, Face Us Radio. It's Elizabeth Benedetto. How are you?
Hi. How are you
Elizabeth.
Doing?
Welcome.
Welcome
to the show.
Hi, everybody. You sound great. Listen, this is a very good show. I just wanted to expound a little bit more on the AUI that Luann was speaking about, the America United International. They're making great progress, and you shared a little bit about it. Some of it was a little bit misinformation.
Okay, good.
The leaders, you spoke about Dr. Zena Crenshaw-Vogel, and these are the leaders of AUI, which is a campaign to bring attention nationally and internationally to the human rights crisis that we're having in the United States, which arises out of the legal system, which arises as a result of too many rogue judiciary members who are facilitating, if not perpetrating, you know, actual criminal activities against innocent Americans, some of which you just pointed out a few minutes ago. But Belinda Parker Brown is the other co-founder of and spearheading this campaign known as AUI. Again, it's America United International. There's a Facebook page that is named AUI. What the heck is it called? Not the breakdown. Oh, my goodness. If you plug in AUI, you're going to get it. But it's something under the it's Countdown. Countdown under the Biden administration. What they just recently, the reason why I want to clarify this is because this is a historic and unprecedented happening, what's happening with the post that they put up a couple of days ago. Maybe it was just yesterday. I'm not sure. Yesterday or the day before, there was a posting on the website, not on the website, on the Facebook page, AUI, that Belinda Parker Brown has secured a meeting with top officials at the United States Department of Justice, and they will be meeting within the next 30 days. So nothing is set in stone about anything, about our cases being heard or reparations or reviewed. Nothing is happening at this point, but that is what we're going for. Again, we're looking for, hopefully, ultimately, a FEMA-type program, a FEMA-like, FEMA being the Federal Emergency Management Agency, but not to be governed by the federal authorities in the United States, but more to be overseen by experts in the field, in the legal field. For instance, you just mentioned Rick Black. He would hopefully be interested in overseeing and reviewing cases at some point. This is on a massive scale because, as you pointed out, Luann, we're not just talking about probate court. We're talking about family court.
Oh, it's all kinds of
bankruptcy court, criminal court, landlord-tenant. We are talking about entrenched legal system abuse throughout the United States. And I've said this before, and it's no disrespect to the citizens of Ukraine, but we are suffering here, and it is it's unreported or it's underreported. And I'm glad to hear Robin was saying that more and more journalists and media outlets are reporting these atrocities. These are human rights violations. Hillary just shared about some. April Donovan, I'm so proud of her. I hope you're hearing this, April, because she's a forerunner out there about what they're doing to people, what they did to her mother in hospice. So many people are suffering. We are suffering in the millions because it's not just the individual who is taking a ward of the state or one child that's being trafficked through the division of, what do you call that, the foster care system and CPS making false allegations, and each of these jurisdictions having their own incentives and reasons for doing these terrible things to innocent people under the color of law, and all of these rogue judges signing off so callously with our lives. It's not just these individuals, this one or two or three here. This is rampant abuse of power and authority, and millions of Americans in the form of individuals and families, loved ones, are suffering as a result. So my next point is, and then I'll get off, is I would like everybody who's listening to go to the AUI Facebook page. I'm not saying stop doing whatever else you're doing with, stop working with whomever else you're working with. But this is an avenue that we need to pursue. We need to all get on board. Just like the Ukraine people, we know them. We see them. We see the suffering. We'll post your suffering. Let your story be heard. Put it firstly right now on the AUI Facebook page. If you have videos, if you have evidence, you could put it up. It's. I think it's better if you just make it a concise summary, show a few pictures. Don't really name the names of the judges, but that's who we're honing in on because they are the ones, again, either perpetrating or facilitating all of these atrocities, because none of it would happen without their rubber stamping or actually putting their signature on these orders. It's by order of the court that these people, that we, I am a victim as well, me and my family are victims as well, in probate court, in criminal court, in another civil court, I mean, it was just outrageous how the legal system can be weaponized to silence, disparage us, to discredit us, and to cover up these crimes. These are organized criminal activities through our legal system. Everybody who is listening, if you want your case heard, they're not going to be heard if they don't see that we are united and that we are serious, that we will not tolerate this anymore, and we want remedies. We want redress. It's bad enough that these courts do not hear us, and that's bad enough, these underlying cases, whatever jurisdiction, but that the fact that our country, our federal government, Department of Justice, FBI, no one will hear us, no one is giving us an avenue for redress. It's completely inadequate for the number of cases there are. We need to be heard. We need to have our cases reviewed in an honest, ethical arena and by honest, ethical people and get them resolved. And we're looking for reparations as well. And that's what we're hoping this FEMA-type program, FEMA-type agency will serve to provide to us. But that's not here yet. But we have made that wonderful progress. And again, unprecedented, the AUI leaders, Belinda Parker Brown, Dr. Zena Crenshaw, have a meeting within 30 days with top officials at the United States Department of Justice to discuss some of these issues, many of these issues that I just covered. So please, everybody, get on board with AUI. Again, it's not to the detriment of any other activity, any other community that you belong to or group. This is an avenue that's making progress, and we need your support. You need our support. I am an ambassador to the extent that I'm able to get online, because I have a lot of interference with my technology trying to promote AUI. I'm getting on the phone now, and I'm going off a little bit on a tear, but I hope everybody understands the importance and significance of what's going on. And that's
right,
it.
Exactly.
If you have any questions,
thank
you can look
you.
At my Facebook page. I have it. It's at the top of the page. I have a blip about what happened to me, and then the next post would be about the AUI announcement about this upcoming meeting. And you can click on there, click on AUI. You can contact some of the ambassadors. I think if you go to the website, which is www.AmericaUnitedInternational.net, there you'll find all
right.
kinds of information. And the final thing I want to say is we need to prepare our cases for these hopefully upcoming hearings and all of that, which we hope will happen after these meetings, this meeting with the DOJ officials. We are having training at the website through AUI to prepare your cases properly for presentation, because I can't go up and start ranting the way I am now. It has to be very concise, very factual, and very impressive and impactful with respect to especially the judges who are facilitating. Was there collusion? Was there collusion with the, we want to do it properly, and there will be training offered at AUI. Thank you very much. Hello to everyone. Goodbye to everyone.
There you go. Thank
you.
Thank you for the update. Like I say, we're going to be trying to get AUI on our radio show to talk about what's going on. I know that it's been really awesome to actually meet Belinda Parker Brown and Zena Crenshaw, and I've sat in on many of their meetings, and I tell you what, they are the most smartest women. I mean, I actually get a kick out of them every time I talk to them. So, yes, we are going to be following them and having them on our radio show, and thank you so much for coming on and telling us about that, Elizabeth. I know you've been really into this. You've been helping out a lot of families. Go ahead, Robin.
I'd just like to shine a spotlight on something, because I was when Elizabeth started talking, I looked up AUI, and I did a search on AUI. Couldn't find anything about America United International. And then I looked up America United International and couldn't find that organization at all. And then I kept doing searches and expanding the search to include this term and expanding the search to include that term. And finally, after about 10 searches, I was able to find AmericaUnitedInternational.net. So it's important that you know that website if you want to save yourself time. Go to AmericaUnitedInternational.net to go to AUI's website, and you can get on to understanding what there is. And I want people to understand we are in unprecedented times. The Internet is more and more controlled by big money interests who are directing our and orchestrating what you are allowed to see and what you are permitted to see and what you are able to see on the Internet. And when Elizabeth says she's had a lot of opposition, a lot of trouble when she tries to use her phone, use her technology to be able to promote AUI and let people know about it, and that we all face. The reason that I believe we're facing opposition with our Face Us on Facebook
right.
is a similar situation where you've got big moneyed interests that have their own agendas that they are pushing down our throats, and the voices that will tell you the truth about what is going on in the world are voices that will be squelched if they conflict with the big money interests that are buying up the real estate on the Internet. So I want you all to understand that we have a window of time when we are able to communicate through the internet that is closing as we're speaking.
Right.
That these opportunities to get information will not always be here. We can't take them.
Exactly.
We have to fight for those as well. You have to fight for the chance to listen to Faceless Radio. You have to fight for the chance to communicate online about your situation, about your family situation, about what is really going on. These are things, this is all, we're in a war, ladies and gentlemen. We're in a war of information, and we're in a war that is just an actual war where we're taking casualties every day, and people are dying because they're speaking out and because victims are not permitted to tell their story. And oftentimes, I mean, I have a friend in Florida who had a car bomb explode.
Mm-hmm.
When he began to reveal what was going on, he was car bombed. And fortunately, him and his family were not in the car at the time. But the reality is that this was an assassination attempt on a whistleblower and a person who big money interests wanted to take what they had and not compensate them. And these are the realities that every activist has to live with and every person has to live with in the world today. If you're listening to this radio broadcast, then there's a good chance that you are active in trying to combat injustice. And I encourage you to be as active as you can, be as courageous as you can, and do as much as you can to stand up for yourself, your own rights, and the rights of those that you're trying to defend. Because there are people taking those rights every day.
Right, and I also want to let everybody know that I recently got some information on the attorney Leslie Federigo, and from what I understand, and if anybody knows anything differently, please call into the show, let me know. But I heard that she has closed her practice, and she is undergoing some serious medical issues as well. So I just want everybody to know that. I'm not sure exactly the complete details, but that's from what I've heard through the grapevine. So, gosh, my heart is so heavy with Leslie Federigo. She was a great attorney, but I heard there was a lot of problems with, you know, going on, facing the opposition.
I know. I saw some of the opposition that Leslie was facing. It was malicious, vicious, horrific, the attack on that woman. And that's the reality if you're going to stand up against corruption. You're going to be attacked. You're going to be, you know, you're going to be undermined. You're going to be attacked. Your posts are going to disappear. Your emails are not
going
to be delivered.
Time, so.
Your information is not going to be posted. Your audience is going to be diminished online.
Yeah,
these are the
on.
Things that are going on.
So I think ours on Facebook, Families Against Supporting Best Unethical Standards. They're not letting me or other people post too much about it. I have to go in and research it. So I just want everybody to know that. Also, there is a hearing tomorrow at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern Time. I just got word of that. Let's see. That there is the case with Navarro, right at Navarro, to get that out of guardianship. So that's going on tomorrow. We'll put that in all the sites. We a lot more people in on these calls. But anyway, I think, Hillary, do you have anything else you want to add?
Just that we will not surrender. We will keep fighting, and we are progressing. There's a few major news organizations. I'll let the cat out of the bag when it gets closer to it, who will have pieces on guardianship, one of which will be in September, and it will be 40, well, it'll be an hour, 20 minutes commercials, 40 minutes for the piece, and it is a major news organization. Lots of articles. Diane Diamond had a piece. Janet Phelan is always working. I just got a text from Danielle DeRoss, who just got back to CBS 12 Palm Beach from maternity leave, and she's already contacting me about what's going on, the latest with Rebecca Fearley. There's a hearing in August with Tracy Samuel Hudson, and anyone, if you have a hearing, we would be honored to be at your hearing if you want us there. Please reach out to any one of us you feel comfortable with. Post it on Facebook, tag us, Twitter, anything. We would be honored. We will be very professional, very polite. We will dress appropriately. And unfortunately, sometimes we are stronger in numbers. And there's just so much going on, so much going on. Unfortunately, we had a news anchor from, I think it's called like the Space Coast. She did a few pieces on guardianship, and she just passed away, only 40, from breast cancer. And it's these news anchors that take a chance on doing stories about conservatorship and guardianship, and they're not doing them on Britney Spears. They're doing on people like us, me, a waitress with two young boys, single mother, trying to get their father back, you know, not a Hollywood star with loads of money, just fighting the good fight for my family member, you know. So we owe her, we owe Adam Walzer, And quite a list is getting longer. So may she rest in peace, and may her family know that she helped quite a good number of people with her pieces on for-profit fraudulent guardianships in Florida.
Exactly, and I know that there is a Susu. She is selling T-shirts. You can find her on Facebook.
That is my young boyfriend. That is her son, Skylar, who made those awesome, honest, on-point statements about guardianship in that little video. And I know that you saw it because I sent it to you. And they, the two of them, have this company and its advocate attire. And everyone is just falling in love, different slogans. And I have to say, as a New Yorker, a city girl, my favorite T-shirt so far is the one that says, fuck guardianship. So love it. And go to their site and buy the products up, because the proceeds go to guardianship advocacy work that Susu and her son are doing. And she was on our show, I think, about a few months ago.
Right.
And I love her. She's really good, as is her son.
Exactly. So we, like I said, Faces Radio returns. We are back. We are broadcasting every Wednesday night with the latest news. We're going to try to get Rick Black on to see what's going on across the nation. Hopefully we can get Dr. Sam Sugar on as well. Bonnie Carter's going to be coming on. We've got probably some representatives out here in Colorado going to be coming on. So we've got it going on here, everybody. So please tune in and make sure your friends, family, everybody listens in, because this is some serious stuff. You know, you can be time put into a guardianship. Your family, your loved ones, we just want the news to get out there. It's serious. It's very serious. Anyway, like I say, justice requires transparency and accountability, and giving up is definitely not an option here. And what else we got to say, Robin? Hillary? I know Marcia Freeman's going to be back on next week, too.
We are back, you know, and better than ever.
Yeah, we're back and better than ever, Hillary. We're coming back. And thanks for joining us every week, Wednesday. Well, we got an extra caller. Let's see if they can say something real quick. 270 number, you have a question?
Hi, welcome.
Comment?
I was calling to say that I had gone to a couple of the hearings this week and being able to be in the Zoom, you know, just having the presence. I wonder how having as many of us present as possible affects how open they are with their corruption, you know, with, I wonder how it affects the way they treat the people they're trying to abuse when there's so many people watching that aren't usually watching. And if that pressure helps, and I'm certain it does, we could just keep increasing the amount of witnesses or, you know, not witnesses, but just observers.
Right.
In each and every hearing, try to be there. I set my alarm in the morning. Eastern time is different than our time zone. So I'd set my alarm and dial in the Zoom meeting and listen in and observe.
Yeah.
Body language is really fun to me.
Exactly. When they're at 8 o'clock in the morning, it's 6 o'clock in the morning here in Denver, and it's like, oh, my gosh, I set the alarm and just, I got to get out of bed and get dressed. So, yeah, we've been through two of the hearings today. There was an LCAT hearing today. I don't know what happened to that one. I'm going to try to get a hold of them to find. Yeah. But if you have the cases and you want to talk about it, get a hold of faceusradio@hotmail.com. You can find us at Facebook on Messenger. Go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to thank our caller for bringing that up.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Amplify what you were saying. I think that one of the things that is really difficult for these for some of the court predators that we see is when the light shines in and they scatter like roaches. They don't like the light shining in on what they're doing because they know that what they're doing is morally reprehensible, and the fact that they're able to claim that it's somehow within the law is also morally reprehensible. With more faces appearing on those Zoom calls to watch what they're doing, when we go into those calls and we turn on our camera and we're looking them in the eye and we're listening to what they say.
Right.
I think that really has to have some impact.
Right.
Even on the majority of individuals who are in those courtrooms who otherwise might, with absolute impunity, if you're in a closed courtroom and the only ones there are buddy number one, buddy number two, buddy number three, buddy number four, and the man in the black robe who's also your buddy and your victim, which is how it is in a lot of courtrooms, then you've got a little closed, you know, a little closed group where you can mock and make fun of and just have your heyday and have your fun and torture your victim, and you can have all the fun you want because there's no witness, there's no one watching, there's no one seeing. So
nobody saw any of my court hearings, and they did exactly that. They made fun of me. They mocked me. They made me feel very isolated and alone, and
sorry.
Rattled my – because they are people of authority or whatever that saying is, they rattled my you know,
composure.
How you talk about being upbringing to think that they are the boss. They're the – they're the,
right,
right.
They're
right.
The serious citizen. That
everything.
Rattled me and – to such a degree that it made me question myself even,
always, yeah.
You know, and so, and
yeah.
Nobody could see that. It was really hard. I mean, like, it still affects me. I still feel, because I've struggled with certain things my whole life. They don't know who they're talking to. They didn't do any background check on me before they started messing with me. And so they don't
right.
know what kind of trauma that they have evoked.
And if they did, they wouldn't give a shit. They wouldn't care.
They'd be happy. They would gladly evoke trauma.
They'd probably
exactly.
do it more. You're right. They could probably professionally do it more. You're right. But with people, like you said, when you turn on the lights, the roaches scatter. I can't wait for our moment when we can turn on the light nationwide and watch these people scatter and try to crawl into their nasty, dirty crevices and hide what they've done, but they can't, and they won't be able to hide. It's going to be open for everyone to see what they've done to family after family after family and legacy after legacy, and it's just not right.
From your lips to God's ears, my prayer. Because I hope and pray for that day to come quickly.
And we're going
to
make a big difference here in Colorado, too. I can tell you that right now, starting in August, we've got a lot to do. And it's going to be big out here. So
and these are battles.
And if you're having a problem,
it must be waged.
And if you're having a problem in your state, find other cases like yours and just build your superhero team and just get out there and just talk to representatives, talk to news agencies. Just don't give up.
I always say this is a build-your-own superhero game. And what I mean by that is that ordinary effort will not suffice. You're going to have to give an extraordinary effort over an extraordinarily sustained period of time if you wish to see change.
Right.
Because you're going up against a larger, more well-equipped army that is working hard to dominate, control, and put you down. So it's going to require a tremendous effort. Requires a superhero. You must build yourself into a superhero, and it's a build-your-own superhero game.
Right.
And Luann is pointing out that we have another caller, so we're going to let them in.
Exactly. 973, you have a question or a comment? Welcome to the radio show. 973.
Did you guys say 973?
Yes.
You.
Welcome. You're live on the air.
Hillary, Robin, Luann, Marcy, good evening.
Hey,
this
Sue,
is
Sue.
Reeves. Hey.
Hi, Sue.
Hey. Okay, well, you almost had me in tears when you wanted to quote our youngest advocate, Skylar Davis.
That's right.
And if you all have not checked, I'm sorry?
Go ahead, Sue.
I'm glad you're listening.
No, I was saying if you guys have not checked out the video, I'm Sue, two separate words, on Facebook. I don't think my son could have put it better than any adults when he broke down the logistics of guardianship and how it is personally affecting him and has affected our family for the last 4 years. If you're not familiar, please check the hashtag FreeYousef, which is Y-U, S like Sam, E like Edward, F like Frank, FreeYousef Davis. Yousef Davis is a 43-year-old father of four that has been trapped in guardianship for over 4 years. He is my boyfriend of over 20 years, my life partner, my best friend, in addition to being the father of my son. And we have been isolated, completely barred any contact or communication for over 4 years. And our case is somewhat unique because I don't know any other advocate that has supported their mate or their family member through incarceration. Mr. Davis was incarcerated two different periods of time, and I can personally say that he had more liberties, rights, and freedom as an inmate, when he was criminally charged, than as an incapacitated adult. Then his only offense is falling ill to a stroke at 39 years old.
That's blocked. Uh-huh.
So I heard you guys were talking about something. Yeah.
Right. Your son, Skyler, is so amazing. He knows more about guardianship than most adults. I mean, he was out there speaking out here on Facebook, and I just sat there and I thought, oh, my gosh, you go, little boy. But he is such a voice. I just couldn't even.
Luann, I had no idea that he was taking in so much information, and it was just really just I just really wanted to pick his brain. And we had planned to make a more formal video. So my daughter and I, we were just asking him some questions. And I personally was blown away and impressed at how knowledgeable he was. He knows all about the isolation. I even checked to see, you know, what does isolation mean? And when he could even define about how isolation is when you remove a person from a popular group, I was like, whew, this
kid is amazing, and not because he's mine.
Well, he's different from you. We know that, but he is on it. He was, I mean, just that's exactly what I thought. I'm like, he knows more than the average person, even more than maybe someone who's dealing with the guardianship. He was just, and so just well-spoken, and he got his point across, and it's really the way that he put it down, easy to understand what it is all about and how bad it is. And I mean, just love him. And everyone should watch the video, and that should be like a public service announcement throughout the country. I honestly couldn't agree more
because, and the reason what really fueled me to make that video was because I can scream it from the mountaintops, but I don't want to seem like, you know, bitter girlfriend and they won't just let me see my man. No, this is my son's story, and this is my
right,
son's
and
journey.
That's his father.
And this,
right.
And now that he was 2 years old, so he had no voice at 2 years old. At 6 years old, he can absolutely articulate the injustice that he's being subjected to, as well as how it's destroying our family. And
if you could get me some statements of him talking about this and put it into an MP3 about what guardianship of his abuse, I will be glad to add him into our show. And we can tell him it's a six-year-old talking about what happened, and here's the commercial for him. I'd be glad to do that.
Like a public service announcement, right?
Well, listen, any of my content that you guys have, please, this is my okay and my permission and my consent, please repurpose any of my content, because it's not only just to spread awareness to this topic, and it's not a woe is me tale. You know, unlike I was so inspired by April Donovan. April Donovan, if you're listening, you are my hero. Pro se for the
yeah.
win, okay?
Yeah.
Because I, too, am litigating pro se. And Hillary, you tickled my soul when we were
good.
Standing at that hearing, and you stood up to that judge. And I too, was one of the court watchers when we were all dismissed. And I stayed in law until they kicked my ass off. I stayed on as long as possible.
Right.
But it was an injustice because the attorney
You know what I say? And my mother would say something like this if she were still alive. Honestly, I don't care if you're a judge or a homeless person on the street. You know the right. You know what's right and you know what's wrong. You know? So I don't have any extra respect. I mean, I have respect, but these judges are not doing the right thing. So we are, listen, someone said this to me years ago, like, I didn't really want to meet you, Susu, under these conditions, but we are so glad that you are with us and you are outspoken like your son. And again, you're going to fight for us, and we sure as you know what, are going to fight for you and your son to get
and
back.
I love you all for the fight, but bigger than me, I think Marcy was touching on it. I have launched a T-shirt line for us, for the advocacy community as a whole, something to unify us, whether it's guardianship, whether it's conservatorship. I would welcome and love the support from all advocates. So please visit advocatesattire.com, starting the T-shirt line. I'm dropping merch. There's going to be mugs. So if you're at your desk and somebody says, what's that supportive decision-making over guardianship mug on your desk? Just like you said, in the grocery store, if you have a T-shirt on your chest that says F guardianship, it's definitely going to be a conversation piece. And it's a great introduction.
Yeah.
Seriously, we have a T-shirt that's Guardianship or Conservatorship 101, where I've even added a twist. Because before you can isolate, medicate, cremate, and seal the estate, you have to adjudicate. So our shirt indicates the entire process. Adjudicate, isolate, over medicate, seal the estate, and then cremate. So thankfully, we're still in the isolation phase. We might be in the over-medicated stage, but I'm fueled and I'm empowered by the community, and Advocates Attire is my thank you and my way to unify us all.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Definitely. Sharing everything concerning.
Yeah, everybody go to Facebook. Everybody go to Facebook and go to Advocates Attire, ATTIRE. It's on Facebook. Advocates Attire, as I'm looking at 2, 4, 6, 8, 9 t-shirts. But we had to order some of them. Let's start wearing them in our courts. Let's start wearing them wherever we go to spread the word. And I tell you,
let's wear
right
them
now,
when we're court watching. Let's wear
them when we're court watching.
And we say abolish guardianship. We don't have to wear the F guardianship. I'm sorry. I'm a Jersey girl. That's my favorite one because
if
your heart
that,
has ever been broken
for Jersey and New York and Queens, but we wear that one in court. But the other one.
No,
yeah.
I would never recommend wearing that one in court. Not that one. We'll definitely get kicked out. We'll definitely get kicked out if we wear that one. But no, but maybe more the abolish guardianship or the end conservatorship,
uh-huh.
or as we all would agree, support a decision making over guardianship.
Definitely.
And just
right.
to share an update on our case, I finally found the courage. I am actually preparing my filing. I have a few people that will be providing affidavits in support of us, and I'm finally making the step to go ahead and free Yousef Davis.
There you go.
I'm so excited.
Keep going. Just let us know.
Well, we're going to have you back on our radio show again. Thank you for calling in, and remember, go to Facebook. You want to go to Advocates Attire. Order some t-shirts, and anything else you got to say?
Yes,
advocatesattire.com.
Yeah, okay, yeah, advocatesattire.com. Advocatesattire.com.
Even Skyler plugged it at the end of the video. I had no idea, and he did. He said, we're not going to spend this money on toys or anything useless. Just
I
to
know,
free
that was,
daddy
yeah,
and help other
awesome.
People. I was so surprised.
There you
he
go.
Loved his
bless so hard. Put it in an MP3. Send it over to me. Okay?
Yes,
anyway,
ma'am.
Got one
so thank
left
you.
For
love
show.
To all.
Love you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Hi,
thank you. Love to all the advocates. And just a word to my fellow advocates. You may feel lonely, but you are not alone. It feels lonely.
No,
you're going to lose friends. You're going to lose family. They're going to think you're crazy. Until you walk this nightmare, you don't get it. But this is my word to your ears, from my heart to yours. It feels lonely, but you are not alone. So
amen.
You all have a great night. I love you all. And, yes,
yep.
buy some shirts, damn it.
Okay. We will be talking to you soon.
Thank you.
All right, lots of love.
Love you.
Absolutely. Thank you. Love you.
Bye-bye. All right. Thanks. Bye.
So it's always a delight, Hillary, to have fun with us. You know, and Marcy Davis, who should be coming back with us next week. She's been I just love her so much. She's like
my
married to her. I love her so much. Anyway. Hillary, love you too. I mean, thank you for coming on each week. I mean, I know this doesn't pay anything, but we are.
Oh, it does. It pays more than you know. Injustice.
Yeah,
but, Luann, what time is the hearing? What time is the hearing tomorrow?
I think it's at 10 o'clock Eastern time. I'll be sending it to you. I just got notice of it.
Okay,
so I haven't read too much. But that's
okay,
going to be coming on tomorrow. I think 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock Eastern time, so 8 o'clock here. So.
All right. Thanks, everyone.
All right. We got 10 seconds left. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Justice requires transparency.
Accountability.
We'll see you next week.
Never
give up. Good night, everybody.
Great. Night. Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Sure. Good night, everybody.
Let's see. We are going to end this series. Here we go. Good night, everybody.